Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally, with markets this evening, I'm chatting with Viv Govender from Rand Swiss. Viv, let's start with Anglo American exiting a relatively small joint venture, Gyllenbaar, I think it's pronounced, coal miner in Australia. This really is, more than anything, them cleaning up their portfolio after that hostile BHP Group offer, and we're going to see a lot more of it, I suspect.
I think you might. Look, I mean, I do think the rebuttal at the time, the market didn't like it. We are seeing, you know, some signs of, you know, positivity returning to, Anglo share price over the last, you know, few months. Mm-hmm. Commodities hopefully will recover with China stimulus packages and stuff being on target. And maybe even with, if you look at, we'll talk about it later, but the U.S. election, and they talk about spending a lot of money there too. We could be seeing a situation where, you know, commodities are recovering a little bit, especially if inflation does not fall as quickly as people had been hoping. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, this kind of makes sense that, you know, they're trying to make themselves a bit more efficient, a bit more focused. But I think also commodities are likely to return for the next little while. And when it comes to commodity companies, most of them are operated, I always say, pretty well. They all depend mostly on what the actual underlying commodity market looks like, other than their own particular idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, absolutely. In the case of Anglo, they've got also they got copper, but they've got diamonds, platinum, which they don't like. And of course, they've also got a little bit of coal assets. And then, of course, the giant Kumba iron ore. Redefined results out earlier this morning. They make what to me seemed like maybe a bold statement to say that the market has turned in their financial year 2024. The worst is behind them. Certainly, stocks have run hard this year, but it's still tough being a REIT, is my sense.
Yeah, but I mean, it obviously looks a lot better when you have interest rates falling. Mm. Remember, these guys are all usually basically, you know, pretty heavily cleared. And when the interest rates were high, you know, obviously they're not going to be looking as attractive. Interest rates falling, looking a bit more attractive. However, they still have by no means recovered from the disaster that was, COVID. And there's a bit more to go for them. Also, I mean, I sometimes wonder about the property market and whether or not it will ever recover to the full level, because patterns have changed. We're looking at a world that's going to be, you know, dealing with things like, you know, driverless vehicles the next couple of years. And the number one thing to understand about location is location. It's not just about location, it's about transport as well. You could live in the suburbs unless there was a car. Mm-hmm. The car made suburbs viable. A driverless car will also, in a way, change how you think of location. What may have been something that's, you know, you don't want to be stuck in an hour of traffic in the morning. Now, if you're sitting in a car, you may be sleeping or watching a movie or something, that hour does not seem as bad. And so I do think that, you know, we are going to be seeing a very different world. The same thing applies to things like shopping. The same thing applies to, retail as well. So I think we are going to see a very different property market as these kind of new technologies come into place. And we may never see the kind of levels we saw in the past for some of these property prices.
Take your point. I mean, we all know the office story. I live by Rosebank Mall, which is high prop. And there's a surprising number of vacant stores there in what must be a fairly sort of premium mall. It is just those shifting patterns. We shop online a whole bunch more. And we're kind of turning shopping into a bit of an experience. It's not just office, which is going to struggle in the new future.
Yes, and also, I mean, we also have to think of the fact that demographics are going to change, not just internationally, but locally eventually as well. Mm. And as you get older, you don't need as many places to basically go. You don't go to work, you stay at home because you're retired. You don't go out as much. You don't have as much property space because you have less kids and stuff like that. So that's also going to affect things going forward. But I think, I mean, just looking at the work from home situation, yes, many people are returning to the office, but there's still quite a substantial number, especially the higher end of the economy, that are still, you know, spending many days at home. And, you know, if you're going to spend a couple of days at home, you're not going to be at the office and going to Rosebank Mall and shopping as much.
Yeah, yeah. I want to move offshore. You alluded to China. What was it? 24 September. We got all the excitement around a giant stimulus package. They're still giving us some data. We had a meeting, apparently, what was it, earlier today, late yesterday, on the stimulus details. You've been bearish on China for some time, in part because of aging Politburo, in part because of command economy. It's still not a space that you're particularly excited about.
No, I mean, maybe if you were Chinese, you might look at them as being a reasonable place to invest in at the moment. But as an outsider, I don't think so. I mean, the number one danger I think you're going to experience is the possibility of, you know, something happening in Taiwan, in which case China becomes a new Russia. And you know, remember what happened to your assets in Russia when that happened?
Yeah.
You know, you can speak to some of those companies that had assets then, you know, what had to happen to those things. Also, the second thing is, like, you know, I still maintain that Xi Jinping is just not, up to running a country like China in the way that the Chinese Communist Party needs someone to run it. This is not the U.S. You can't have somebody like Joe Biden in charge for, like, you know, the last year, who was semi-senile or, you know, or at least severely incapacitated, and the economy still is like pumping along. China requires a lot more input from the leadership. And I think that's an issue. I mean, I just saw something very interesting last week. We were talking about the China Powerhouse 2035, where he wants to talk about making China into a cultural powerhouse to make, have soft power matches hard power. And he wants to have, like, you know, movies and, like, you know, cultural stuff based on Marxist principles. I mean, you can imagine how that's going to go around the world, where you try to make your kind of cultural thing based on Marxist principles and thinking that's going to have, like, social, also have, like, you know, cultural, you know, gravitas internationally. It's just, you know, he doesn't understand the world. He's too old. He's not, he's not clued up to things. And unfortunately, that's going to be very bad for China going forward.
You mentioned Biden. He, of course, isn't on the ballot tomorrow in the U.S. We've got Trump and Harris. The U.S., I mean, this is an alarmingly close election. It is significant. The economic policies, be they what they are, of each of the candidates, vastly different. I mean, have you been tweaking portfolios? Have you been hiding in gold or cash? Or is it a case of it's going to be volatile, but we'll probably be okay?
No, I mean, I haven't been hiding in cash and gold because the U.S. market has just been running crazy, and you'd be, you know, losing out if you were. But one thing I've got to say about this thing, you say it's close, but how do we know? Because quite frankly, I mean, if I look at the polling numbers coming out, I mean, I think you have a bit of a like statistical background as well. The chances of you having all these swing states within the margin of error, one point one way, one point the other way, is ridiculously, it's not very likely to be happening. The fact that it's a 50-50 coin toss, that just is more likely due to the fact that pollsters are not willing to take a kind of stand. In fact, this weekend, a famous pollster from, I think, Ohio, a woman called Ann Seltzer, came out and put a poll out that showed that Harris was ahead by 3 points. Now, she's likely wrong, but she's brave enough. She's actually giving you the actual poll that she's getting out. Which most of the people, I think, out there at the moment aren't doing. I think they get a poll and it doesn't seem to be what the other people are saying. And so they basically adjust it to get it into that range. And we've got into a lot of herding happening. And I think the problem in the US at the moment, in fact, in much of the media world, is that we don't know who to trust anymore in terms of, you know, a arbiter that you can say, this is the person that you can trust to say that's going to do the right thing. Because quite frankly, you go to the Republican sides, they say Trump is going to win. They go to the Democratic sides and say Harris is going to win. And both are saying it's going to be a comfortable win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, both are likely to be right. But the fact that they're splitting so evenly on partisan lines makes me believe that neither of these parties are giving you the real truth. And so tomorrow we'll know who was lying and who was not.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I take your point. It's a great point. Statistically, the polls in the swing states being so very close is just absurd. I mean, yes, in some, but not across the board. That just doesn't smack up. As you say, we will know in time. Probably not Wednesday morning when we wake up, has been in the past, but certainly, hopefully, by the weekend.
Could be. Could be, actually. Because, I mean, some of them are saying that the candidates are so far ahead. If we see Harris winning Ohio, that's over. If you see Trump basically winning Pennsylvania or, you know, doing better in some of the other states that, you know, that are supposed to be part of Harris's kind of thing, then you would know it's over. But yeah, fingers crossed we don't have a 2000 again, because I don't think we'll survive it as easily.
and I take your point. We might not have the full result, but we'll have some indicators which tell us which way it is going to break. We'll leave it there. Viv Govender, Rand Swiss, always appreciate the insights.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.